Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Red Seat Podcast.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Hosted by Jake Devereaux.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz.
Featuring Keaton DeRosier and Bob Osgood.
Sale winds. He fires.
Swing and a miss. Big play. It's over. The Red Sox have won.
Welcome back to the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux. Today, I am joined by Bob Osgood of Over the Monster and Keaton DeRosier of Over the Monster. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
So good, Jake.
Good, Jake. We made it to opening day after just a miserable offseason. We did it.
Did we?
No.
Not quite. We're almost there.
I feel like you're jumping the gun. It feels safe, but you are jumping the gun.
I think we're posting this on opening day, yes, we did make it to opening day, Keaton.
That's a lot of faith in my ability to edit and post things on time.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's still 2 days for us to play with, so yeah, a little inside look. We're recording this on a Tuesday night in preparation for opening day. On this episode of the show, we're going to get you caught up on a little bit of what's going on with the Red Sox roster, as that's pretty much finalized for the regular season. And then this is our big predictions podcast. So we're going to go through and talk about what we think is going to happen in each division in terms of how the teams are going to finish. We'll talk about our Red Sox superlatives in particular. And we'll get to our playoff seeds in each league and who we think is going to be the award winners. So it's always a fun show. As always, you can reach out to us with questions and email us at redseatpodcast@gmail.com. But let's get right to it. The Red Sox roster is pretty much set. There were a few mild surprises. The team ended up choosing Bobby Dalbec over CJ Cron and adding Chase Anderson on a major league deal to be a long reliever, as well as selecting Jolly Rodriguez to be the lone lefty out of the pen to start the season. I think the biggest surprise for me was the choice of Dalbec over CJ Cron, considering, you know, Cron had recently been a pretty good player and Dalbec has shown us pretty much nothing so far. But what did you guys think about it? Let's start with you, Bob.
Yeah, I agree that was the biggest surprise out of the bunch. I think a lot of times with relief pitchers, that's where you can see a surprising ad happen. You know, so with Joely being the left-hander instead of, it appears to be Bernardino, that's not going to make the team. You know, I mean, we threw that name out there last week as a possibility that of somebody who could be involved this year, and I think it all comes down to options. And you know, Bernardino has an option left, and I think it frustrates us during the season, but I get it a lot more in the preseason and spring training to have as many available arms and flexibility as possible, which is why the CJ Cron thing makes no sense to me, because it seems like if you wanted to have some flexibility with Bobby Dalbec having an option left for this season and CJ Cron having, you know, regardless of what he's done so far, he came into camp late. It's a right-handed bat. It's one more right-handed bat that could be in the mix, as we talked about last week. Somebody who has, as recently as 2022, had a really good power season, albeit in Coors Field, but it's just not that far removed from that. And it was worth just getting that free look, and it cost them $1 million that I know they had the room for because they didn't spend it on anything else. So I don't get it. And if it's a cost-cutting measure, it makes even less sense because they should have, at the very least, had some room to, you know, make some moves like that and have some flexibility around the roster. I'm not really sure why they brought him in if he wasn't going to make the team over Bobby Dalbec. So that one's really confusing to me.
What do you think, Keats?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this particular spot a lot on the last pod, and I think you threw it to me first, and I was like, I just don't see. We know who Dalbec is. We've seen him enough. He is what he is, and I don't see a lot of value there or any value there. So I thought Kron has at least been a pretty consistent, if underwhelming, major league regular. So that just seemed like it fit the roster construction more. I didn't think there was any juice left to squeeze out of Dalbec. So that one surprised me. I was not surprised by Jolie Rodriguez, though. I almost brought him up when we were talking about kind of the roster construction last time, as someone that I wouldn't be shocked made the team, but I didn't want to spend any more time on the middle relievers than we already had, which was pretty significant, so I just didn't say anything. That one wasn't surprising to me, and I actually kind of like it. So that was a pleasant surprise. We kind of got the final cut there, but the Dalbec one, I don't think there's anything there. And it feels kind of just going back to the well, doing stuff we know doesn't work, which has kind of been the MO of the team the last like 3 years, which is kind of annoying, but
probably more like really 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple weird years in there. I was going to give the benefit of the doubt to, but yeah, it's probably more accurate, but yeah, it's just kind of, you know, uninspired bench spot. Let's see if anything's different. I'm not really expecting any fancy schmancy things here, but I think, my prediction was that he wouldn't even be on the roster by the end of the year. And I think I feel comfortable sticking with that, or not like even in the organization by the end of the year. He'll probably have a real inconsistent month or two and get sent somewhere else.
I think the thing that's most surprising to me is when you look at this roster up and down, Tyler O'Neill is really the only new face among regulars here. There's a couple relievers who weren't on the team last year. But, you know, by and large, they're running back mostly the same faces as they've had in the full throttle winter. So it's just it's something. It's a choice. It's definitely choice.
Like we talk about this every week, every 2 weeks for – however many months, and we're here, and it's so underwhelming. It is so hard to wrap your head around this is what they came up with after, like, whatever. Full throttle was foolish. Even getting past that to be like, all right, you know, what are the stories, and where is the excitement? And I've already ranted about the rotation, so I won't do that again, but it's like, all right, good thing Zaidan Rafaela had a huge spring and is going to be an everyday player, because that is a story that we can kind of hang our hat on. But if Zaidan Rafaela had hit 180 and was striking out 35% of the time in spring training, what's the story right now?
The Francis Scott Key bridge collapse in Baltimore. That would probably be what we'd be most interested in right now.
Can we just do an hour on that today?
All right. Well, I think we've led into it. We're going to get to our AL East predictions right here. So I'm going to start off with mine. The way that I have these teams finishing, I have the Orioles finishing first as the number one seed in the playoffs. Blue Jays finishing second as the third wild card team. Yankees missing the playoffs, finishing third. Red Sox, a surprise fourth place finish. And I have the Rays in fifth and last place in the division. Let's go to you next, Keaton.
I got the Orioles, the Rays, the Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox.
Okay, and Bob?
I have the Orioles winning the division as the 2 seed. I have the Rays as the 5 seed and the only wild card team. The Jays in 3rd, the Yankees in 4th, and the Red Sox in 5th.
Okay, so the things I want to focus on here are us all three being somewhat down on the Yankees. All three of us have them missing the playoffs, I assume, or unless, Keaton, you have them as a wild card?
Nope, I don't.
Okay, so we all have the Yankees out of the playoffs. To me, it's just injuries, right? It's the Gerrit Cole situation. Yep. It's no Jason Dominguez. There it is. It's no, you know, DJ LeMahieu to start the season. It's just so many question marks on this team. I mean, is that kind of where you guys are at with the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Cole thing is just so huge for me, and I know that they think, I mean, he's going to go on the 60-day IL, so that brings you to June. I think they're optimistic that he's going to be back in June, but, I mean, let's say that's July. Let's say that's late June, early July for Gerrit Cole. It's hard to trust Aaron Judge, even though he had a healthy year or two, and it sounds like he has, like, a chronic issue going on with his toe. I'll never trust Stanton. You mentioned Dominguez, who I think will be like a huge boost for them when he comes back, but that's going to be close to the All-Star break. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's holding me back from saying like they're going to be in Red Sox territory is Juan Soto. And that's a huge add, and I know how we all in this room feel about Juan Soto, so it's like hard for me to say that the Yankees are going to suck if it's Torres, Soto, and Judge that are at the top of that lineup, with Rizzo presumably having a bounce back with the concussions in the past. But I don't know. This rotation, I don't trust Rodon. You know, Cortez for a bounce back, Stroman in Yankee Stadium. I don't know. I can't get on board with the pitching, and I think they have little to none. And they traded all of their depth pitching for Juan Soto. So once Cole went out, they're filling in with Luis Gil, and what's behind that?
Well, if they go out and make a move for Jordan Montgomery, do you feel differently about the Yankees?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I would probably, they'd be pushing, you know, the last playoff team for me if they did.
All right, so Keaton, you and Bob both have the Tampa Bay Rays finishing 2nd in this division. I have them finishing last in this division. How the hell is a team that has, in the 5 through 9 spots, Harold Ramirez, Richie Palacios, Jose Siri, Jose Caballero, and Rene Pinto going to finish ahead of anyone? This team looks brutal to me on paper.
Because of Ahmed Rosario.
There it is.
All right, same question, Bob. What's going on? How on earth do you still like this team?
Because of Junior Caminero.
Good one.
And the pitching staff. And Eflin, Civale, Pepio, Shane Baz when he comes back. Zach Littell is a good pitcher. And they will MacGyver together the relievers in those last couple of spots. And Caminero is going to be hitting in the middle of that lineup. And Rosario and Caballero will be decent fill-in at shortstop, but I understand what you're saying. There's a couple of questionable spots in there, but I am done questioning the Rays. It's a different story in the playoffs, but I think they'll put it together and get in again.
Zach Littell, good pitcher who was notoriously claimed off waivers from Boston in May of 2023.
That's a fact.
So, along those same lines, so not just a joke, but Ahmed Rosario, which Bob kind of hit on in there. So same reasons, love the pitching, and the Rays are just kind of, it's hard to question them. They're just, they always find a way to put it together. And Ahmed Rosario, we talked about how he was just too perfect of a fit of a guy that they just scoop up and they're going to turn into like an incredible utility player. And he already put that on display, having an incredible spring. So it's like the magic is already working. Ami Rosario is going to be a great role player for this roster. Their lineup never looks exciting, but it always scores a bunch of runs, and their pitching is always good.
All right. Well, it's solid reasoning, but I'm glad I'm on my second beer for this conversation. So,
yeah.
Let's move on to the Red Sox win totals here. I have the Red Sox winning 83 games, finishing a little bit above 500 here. Ahead of the Rays, obviously, but still not anywhere close to a playoff spot. Bob, how many wins do you have for the Red Sox?
I think they're going to be improved by one game, 79 and 83.
I couldn't bring myself to go below 500, so I went 81 and 81.
Jake, why are the Red Sox going to be five games better than last year at 83 and 79 on the brink of the playoffs?
Because they won't quit in September like they did last year. That's it. That's all I got.
It did. They did quit in September. It was disgraceful.
It was disgraceful.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
Now, you remember, they were pretty much like the most 500 team. They were just barely above 500 pretty much all year long. So I just think that they have a little bit more depth and fewer defensive issues this year. So I'm giving them a couple more wins. And I do feel like the vibes are a little bit better, for whatever that's worth.
Listen, anyone who gives a shit about being negative on this show, we all think they're going to be better than last year. So I don't want to hear it.
There we go. All right, so let's do some quick Red Sox superlatives before we move on to the other divisions and the major awards. For Red Sox MVP, I have Sedan Rafaela coming out and just, you know, getting some Rookie of the Year votes, playing incredible defense. I think he'll have a close to 2020 season in his rookie year, so I'm extremely high on Sedan Rafaela. Who do you have for your MVP, Keaton?
I went with Devers.
That's a good one. What about you, Bob?
Yeah, I'm just going boring, so I'll change it up on the other ones. But I have to go with Devers. I mean, 27-year-old, just right in his prime, coming off 271 down year. I think he'll get back near that 290 average range and hit for 30 and 100, and I think he'll be the MVP of the team.
Question for you both, since you both have Devers there. Do you both think he is an above 4 WAR player next year? Or this year?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also am, I think, highest on him staying at third base for a couple of years, right? So, if he can be somewhere in between that 2022-2023 defensive range, which I guess 2021 he had a 4.2 Fangraphs WAR, so I'll go with that.
Yeah, I notably wanted to be a little contrarian with my pick here, so I'm going to go super boring on my next one. Red Sox most valuable pitcher, I think, is going to be Brian Baio, who just got his payday. I think he takes a step forward and is the best pitcher for the Red Sox. Who do you have, Bob?
I'll change this one up. I'm going to go with Garrett Whitlock. After all this time, this is the year for Garrett Whitlock. He's looked great in spring training. His velocity is back. His off-speed stuff looks good. He's worked his pitch count up. He's in the rotation. And Garrett Whitlock is finally going to put it all together, even though the answer is probably Brian Baio.
He looked nasty against Texas at Globe Life the other day, so it's a good pick. I don't hate it. How about you, Keaton?
I went Whitlock, who was my first choice, and who I didn't have to change to be different. For all the same reasons that Bob just said, this rotation is desperate for somebody to step up and do something. And it's hard not to see what he did in the spring and be like, well, this could be something. So I think he's gonna kind of stand out, separate himself, be a little shining star there guy that we look forward to being on the bump, and so I'll go Garrett Whitlock.
All right. If he's still healthy by June, I'm going to give you guys both some credit. All right. For Red Sox best defensive player, if I had Rafaela for MVP, I have to have him for this category, so I have Rafaela. What about you, Keats?
I went Trevor Story. Trevor Story played only 37 games last year and was a +8 defensive run saved, which was second on the team only to Alex Verdugo, who played 3 times as many games as he did. Trevor Story is still really freaking good at defense, and I really think that, like, the only options here are Rafaela, Story. But I'm going Story just because I like Trevor Story and I want him to have a nice bounce back here.
I need a little update on what just happened. Did you just fall out of your chair? What's going on?
I dropped an apple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got it back, though.
There you go.
I was worried. I'm going with Rafaela, but I agree. Those are the two answers. And the Story, defensive run saved, outs above average, whatever metric you want to use, he was out of this world for those 30 or 40 games a year ago. I think that's a great sign. I love seeing the clips of him, you know, going to his right, and hopefully that helps Devers out a little bit defensively this year. But I'm going to go with Rafael. I'm going to go with the 80 grade potential defense in center field, and that is, I think, the biggest storyline and what I am most excited to watch this year is after some time in between the elite glove center fielders, the Coco Crisps, the Jackie Bradleys, you know, the great arm of Johnny Damon, all of those from throughout the century, back have Rafaela in center field patrolling the grounds there. So I'm looking forward to that.
Don't forget Coco Crisp. Coco Crisp.
I said Coco Crisp.
Did you?
Damn it. I did.
Oh, I didn't hear it. But, you know, it is going to be really nice to have Rafaela there. I'm very excited about it as well, so I agree. It's the most exciting thing. Keaton, you're going to be happy with my LVP pick, though.
I will be. Real quick, though, I also wanted to just show people that I can pronounce Rafaela correctly. I realized I dropped my apple and called him Rafaela.
So I thought that's why you fell out of your
really
chair.
Apple really threw me off. No, I was trying to catch an apple and forgot how to pronounce his name.
Well, I thought you were doing a bit, so I'm glad you clarified that.
Nope.
All right. Well, least valuable player for the Red Sox, I have Nick Pivetta. I know that he is leading the spring in Eno Saris' stuff plus metrics. I know that he was elite down the stretch last year. I just don't fucking believe that Nick Pivetta is going to change his stripes at this age. I think he's the same old schlub that was kicked out of the rotation last year in a very bad rotation. So I just don't buy it. Until I see him put it together, I think we're all going to be disappointed.
That is the same one that I had. I think that there was only, well, I guess there's more options, but I really like Bob's choice for this, but I couldn't bring myself to pick anybody but Pivetta.
I'm going with Kenley Jansen, and I just, over the last month, have kind of got some vibes that it kind of started with, you know, at the beginning of spring training, he seemed unhappy with, understandably, with what management did. I feel like he wants to be on a playoff team. I think he's been on a playoff team his entire career. And last year wasn't what he expected. It wasn't the bill he was sold. And here we are this year. And if they get off to a rough start, he's also had some back pain. He got a late start. They have shortened the pitch clock even more. And I've seen some quotes that he's not happy about that. I don't know. I just get the feeling that he's unhappy and that he's going to end up traded to a playoff team 3 months from now. I am also the same person that wrote, what's that?
Will he then dominate down the stretch with a playoff team, like rejuvenated?
Yes, of course he will. But I was going to say, I'm the same person that wrote a month ago that they shouldn't trade Kenley Jansen. And maybe it was probably 2 months ago when I still thought they were going to go out and make some additions to this roster. So that's fine. You can call me a hypocrite because I'm probably that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel great about Kenley Jansen with the late start.
Did you also just create Bob's Vibes Plus metric to rival Eno there?
I think you did.
Somewhere between 65 and 70.
All right. Well, let's move to the AL Central here. AL Central, I have the division going like this. Twins finishing first, clinching the 3 seed. Tigers, then Royals, then Guardians, then White Sox. How about you, Bob?
I also had the Twins winning the division in the 3 seed. I had the Guardians in second. I had the Tigers third. I had the Royals fourth. And the White Sox a very, very distant fifth.
All right. Keaton, you're the tiebreaker here. What do you got?
I got, I don't know if I'm breaking a tie, but Tigers first, then Twins, then Royals, then Guardians, then White Sox.
Okay. This is very interesting. So Keaton and I are in agreement about a couple things here. The Tigers are going to be better than expected. The Royals are going to finish third, and the Guardians are going to finish fourth. We all agree on the White Sox, so that's uninteresting. But Bob, tell me why you have faith that the Guardians will be second in this division, whereas Keaton and I have them as a fourth place team.
Pitching. All about pitching for me. And partially that I don't believe in the Royals. So it's a Guardians versus Tigers thing, and I do like the Tigers, and I think that they're a year away, and they'll be close to 500 again this year, maybe 500. But I believe in a bounce back for Shane Bieber. The more that I watched him, you know, with the driveline stuff and then in spring training, and his stock has just been going up for the last month. I think Bieber can get back into that top 10 pitcher in all of baseball, potentially. Behind that, you've got Tanner Bibee, you've got Logan Allen, Gavin Williams, it sounds like, is going to miss limited time. Tristan McKenzie and Emmanuel Clase, who I still think might be the best closer in all of baseball, at least top three. So I love what they have in starting pitching. I think that all of those guys can go deep into games, save for maybe McKenzie, who's doesn't hold up that well. But love the starters, love the closer. And beyond that, definitely can, the lineup is a little bit of a struggle in the second half, but I like that Kwan, Jimenez, Ramirez, Naylor start. I think Josh Naylor might be the most underrated player in the league. So,
agreed.
You know, I mean, we're talking the Central, and second place might mean 82 and 80, but I think they can get there.
Where does Josh Naylor fall in the Vibes Plus?
Oh, jeez. The thing with Josh Naylor is that as much as the Vibes are good in that clubhouse, he also could start 3 brawls this year, doing the, some sort of big balls dance between second and third base during a home run trot. Right.
That's off the chart.
It's off the charts for the team, but, you know, it could cause some downstream effects. So I do love Josh Naylor, and yeah, he's around 140 on the Vibes Plus.
Love it.
All right, Keaton, you got to talk to me about these Tigers. You have them finishing first. I think I could make a pretty good argument for the Tigers having the best rotation in the division instead of the Guardians, especially with how these guys have looked in the spring. Talk to me about what you like here.
Yeah, I think they took a real solid step forward last year, and I just feel like they're we've been saying it, or feels like we've been saying it for a while, but it finally feels like they're putting it together, and it feels like they can put back-to-back good seasons making more and more progress together. What was it, like 4 years ago? It seemed like they arrived too early, and then they've kind of taken steps back since then. But it seems like they got the ship righted last year, had a really great second half of the season. They're loaded with young talent. Like you said, pitching staff, prime. In a weak division, I think a team that can kind of ride the vibes of the young guys to 85 wins in a division title.
Yeah, and they have some bats coming too that aren't even up with the big club yet. I don't know. Is it crazy to buy into the spring that Jack Flaherty has had and the spring that Casey Mize has had? Those guys have looked like completely different pitchers than they have in years.
Yeah, I'm fully buying into it. And we talked about Flaherty when we were doing our deep AL dive and how he's really kind of struggled, and especially with the Orioles last year. He was he's so primed for a bounce back, and he's kicked it off in style and looked great this spring. I'm fully buying in.
I'm not, but that's okay.
Party
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not much of a Jack Flaherty believer, but he is throwing harder. He looks better. I'll give him some average innings. They've got a ton of guys that I think are, as I said in the preview show, 24 years old, going to have very good seasons and put it all together a year from now. But we'll see. I love the first place pick, though. That took some guts.
Yeah, they I wish do I have a lot I wish of 24-year-olds.
What's that?
They do have a lot of 24-year-olds. You're right.
That could mean a lot of things, I guess, but it just they feel a year away.
I wish I was bold enough to make that pick. I like it a lot too. And we have some breaking news here on the show. Jordan Montgomery will not be a Yankee as he has signed with the Diamondbacks. So. The Jordan Montgomery saga officially ends.
Well, good thing we haven't gotten to the NL West yet.
Yeah. I know somebody that's making some adjustments.
Is it Bob?
No.
It is not. All right. Let's get to the AL West. I have this division as the Astros finishing first, getting the 2 seed, Rangers as the wild card 1 finishing second, Mariners as the wild card 2 finishing third, Angels then A's. Keaton, how do you see this division shaking out?
The exact same way.
There you go. All right, Bob, you got anything different?
I put the Rangers ahead of the Astros. Rangers first, Astros second, but the Astros as the top wild card. I have the Mariners as the 6th seed. Definitely thought this is the easiest task outside of the top two. With the Rangers, I just feel like they're going to hang around and they're going to get crazy reinforcements in the second half of the year between Max Scherzer in June and maybe Jacob deGrom in August. There's another pitcher too, right, that's out for the year. Is it Molly? Yeah, Tyler Molly, who I think is coming back in the second half of the year. And it's not just that they're running back the same team. You're adding Wyatt Langford, the top 3 rookie of the year candidate. You've got Evan Carter for an entire season, top 3 rookie of the year candidate. So you add the two of them in for the whole season. They still have a decent staff. Without those guys, and I think that they'll kind of hang around and just have a electric second half. And they got Bruce Bochy, who I trust more than probably any manager in the league.
Yeah, it's a hell of a team. I just think they're going to run out of runway. You know, I think it's so hard to bank on guys coming back from health issues and knowing when those things are going to happen. But you're absolutely right. If they do hang around, they could have a early 2000s A's like second half of the year.
Yeah. And they, I guess Montgomery being gone now, but they did a lot of this with that team in the playoffs. So you know, they didn't have Scherzer for most of that. But he might have made an appearance or two early on that didn't go that well. They didn't have DeGrom, so they got a shot.
All right. Before we move on from the American League, Keaton, who finishes with the worst record, the A's or the White Sox?
The A's.
By how many games?
Oh, man. 8.
See, I was going to say 10. I think they're going to be significantly worse.
I almost said 10, and then in my head that sounded like a whole lot of wins. So I just slightly toned it down.
All right. Well, let's move on to the NL. NL East, I have it like this. Braves with the first seed winning the division. Phillies with the first wild card. Then I have it Marlins, Mets, Nationals. Let's go to you, Bob. How do you have it?
I got Braves in first with the 2 seed. I've got Phillies in second with the 4 seed. And then Mets, Marlins, Nationals.
I have the exact same thing as you, Jake.
All right. So I guess the only debate there is Mets versus Marlins. Bob, let me ask you, is it just simply the sheer amount of injuries the Marlins have that has you putting the Mets above them?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, now that... Before Yuri Perez, Braxton Garrett, and Edward Cabrera were on the IL, I felt a lot better about this team. They might have slightly overachieved a year ago. And, you know, I mean, they've added Tim Anderson. Who knows if he has anything left. And outside of that, it's a similar, you know, if Jazz Chisholm can stay on the field, which I don't trust. So I don't trust that he's going to stay healthy. I already feel terrible about the staff. I don't know. I could see this going south, like very south, 10, 15 games worse than last year kind of thing.
Yeah. I could see it. There's something about this Mets lineup that just makes me feel that feeling in my mouth like I'm going to vomit.
300 million.
It's the worst 300 million money can buy.
Peanuts.
All right, let's get to the NL Central here. You know, not a very good division, but I think we'll be at least interesting to watch because there's a whole bunch of young players in this division that are interesting. I have it this way. Cubs finishing first in the division with the number 3 seed. Reds finishing second. Cardinals 3rd, Pirates 4th, Brewers 5th. Big thing there is the Brewers dropping all the way from 1st in the division to 5th in the division. Keaton, how do you have this division shaken out?
I went Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, Pirates, Reds.
Wow. Okay.
My word. We flip that around and put the Reds first, Cubs second, the Cardinals third, the Brewers fourth, and the Pirates fifth. However, totally agree that this division has more potential outcomes by far than any other. And I would say nothing would shock me outside of the Pirates winning the division.
All right. Well, we need an explanation from you, Keaton, about what type of drugs you're smoking over there, having the Cincinnati Reds last in the division. Explain this to me.
Well, it's a green apple, which we've already heard affect this podcast earlier, and a blueberry banana smoothie.
A lot of fruit.
Yep.
The good shit.
But I mean, the Cubs seems like was the easiest one to slot in here. And then the rest, it just really felt like a crapshoot. And I was like, Cardinals usually figure it out. They've got that weird voodoo. They're usually there. So I was like, All right, second. Brewers knocked him down to third because they lost like half their pitching. Don't really know what's going on with that team. Pirates, I don't feel great about, but they have some young guys that I'm really excited about. And then so that just by default put the Reds at the bottom. Nothing against them. I think there's very little that separates all of these teams, and they just kind of ended up there.
Well, this feels very personal, especially to Bob having them first place.
But
and they are high on my list of MLB TV teams to watch. Interesting. So, Bob, tell Keaton why he's crazy for having them last, and why do you have them first?
Yeah, I don't think that he's that crazy, but I strongly disagree.
Fangraphs and Pagoda both have them fourth, so it doesn't seem that outrageous.
So I don't think you're that crazy.
Did you say pagoda?
Pagoda?
Like Chinese pagoda?
I didn't, but honestly, given the way the rest of this podcast has gone for me, sure.
Okay, I definitely heard pagoda.
I mean, the Reds aren't off to a good start between Matt McClain, who knows what his injury is, who knows what kind of drugs Keaton has given Noelvi Marte. and Friedel has broken hand or wrist or something, right? So that's not great. And they still had too many players going into the season, and everything still kind of slots into place. I think Encarnacion Strand is going to be a key part of the team and is just a great hitter. I think Ellie has more variance of outcomes than anybody, but if it all goes together, as we've talked about, it could be 30 and 60. You've got India, who's won a Rookie of the Year. You've got Steer. You've got Fraley, Will Benson, power speed. They brought in Candelario, which is like an afterthought, and it was, all right, where is he going to fit in? I don't know. Candelario's been a really good hitter for a few years now, or at least a couple years. So it's just like, I think it still looks fine. And I think they'll get those players back for half or most of the season, depending on with the 300 players there. And, yeah, I mean, the pitching, I'm not sure. You know, I'm thinking Hunter Green can take that next step and be an ace. I thought that last year, and he ended up on the IL, but I still believe in him. I think Nick Martinez, Andrew Abbott, Ashcraft, Frankie Montas, who they gave decent money to, they're going to have to piece that part together. But I also think this division sucks, and, you know, it's going to be one of those everyone's between 85 and 75 wins, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I am I'm happy we had a good argument here, because that's going to be one. You guys might have to make a dumb bet on the Reds with each other.
All right. You got the Cardinals third? Is that what I heard?
Well, I'll have them third.
All right, because that one's interesting. Okay, you had them second. The Fangraphs predictions there, I believe, had the Cardinals in first at 83 and 79. So
they do. Pagoda also high on the Cardinals at 84 wins to win the division.
Some guy Keaton met at a pagoda has the Reds in last place.
I feel like these Michaelis, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson guys have way more war than they should be given credit for. We'll see.
Yeah,
isn't that the whole point of war, is to give guys credit?
I just think that the three of them are moving the win totals up, and that they all kind of suck.
I think the whole point of war is to defeat your enemies by any means necessary.
Nice.
All right, National League West. I think the most exciting division in the National League. We have the Dodgers finishing first for me, getting the 2 seed. Padres, a surprise team, getting the second wild card spot. Giants with a third wild card spot. Diamondbacks, 4th place, missing the playoffs. And Rockies in last place where they should be. All right, Bob, I know you have some major issues with my NL West standings, so why don't you go next?
Did I? I only have one thing reversed. I got the Dodgers in first as the 1 seed. Padres in second is the 5 seed. I put the Diamondbacks in the playoffs. That's the only spot I disagreed coming in. And then with the Montgomery news, still feel pretty good about that. And then the Giants in fourth and the Rockies in fifth. You know, I think it is fair that, like, we get to remind ourselves the Diamondbacks made the playoffs by one game last year. But I also think, you know, Corbin Carroll is on the upswing. You know, he's still going to have, assuming that shoulder holds up, better seasons. I think that Zach Gallen is an absolute horse and an ace. I think Brandon Pfaadt is one of the most kind of underrated pitchers. He was so good in the playoffs and still is not talked about that much. You got Merrill Kelly throwing 200 innings. You've got E-Rod whenever he does come back. And now you've got Jordan Montgomery. And I think that's just an excellent pitching staff to go with a young core of hitters. You know, Christian Walker still with some power. Ketel Marte, Gabriel Moreno, Alec Thomas. They just have a lot of players that I think are going to take steps forward, especially in the outfield. And I think they have the pitching to get to the playoffs, even without Montgomery. But you have to wonder, you know, what does that say about Eduardo Rodriguez that they would make that signing after giving Rodriguez $80 million? You know, is that injury more significant than we thought?
It's a fair question. It's a definitely a fair question considering his past. Keaton, how do you have this division?
Oh, I'm shaking things up, guys. I got the Dodgers. Then I got the Diamondbacks. Then I got the Giants. Then I got the Padres and the Rockies.
Okay. All right. Well, let me make the case for the Giants here. I just think that the Giants have enough interesting guys in their lineup. I like Jung Ho Lee leading off. I love the Jorge Soler power add. Matt Chapman with his glove. Estrada's a solid player. I think Patrick Beverley is very under... Patrick Bailey, I should say.
About to really talk getting hoops. Under people's skin.
Yeah, right? Patrick Bailey is a great catcher. And the pitching is just phenomenal. Logan Webb, Kyle Harrison's got sick stuff. Blake Snell being on that team, I think, you know, you could make an argument Webb and Snell is as good a 1-2 punch as any in the league. And then the back end of their bullpen is pretty filthy as well. So I really like what the Giants have, and they seem to always maximize their pitching. So I kind of just feel like we're due for a Giants playoff year.
It's that even year bullshit.
Yeah.
I could see it. I mean, make a good case. I think that this division is going to be fascinating. And the Dodgers don't play everybody 19 times anymore. They just play them 12. So there are ways to get, as we've seen with the AL East, you know, 490 win teams or something like that. I don't think that's impossible here.
Well, the biggest thing we have as a disagreement here is Keaton's stance on the San Diego Padres versus what we have them as, Bob. So let's talk about that, Keaton. What is it that you don't trust about the Padres? Is it all the shortstops?
No. Actually, I love that strategy of just a full lineup of shortstops. But I'm just fully buying into the inconsistency over the last few years and just thinking that that's going to happen again. This was probably the hardest one to rank because I feel like, it feels comfortable putting the Dodgers and the Rockies at the top and bottom. And then it really kind of feels like a crapshoot between the other ones. The Diamondbacks did make the playoffs last year only by a game, but I think they're going to be better this year. And that was before the Montgomery news. So I had them in second before and just left them. But I fully buy into everything that you said, Jake, about the Giants, and I have them in the playoffs too. And then it was just kind of seeing the Diamondbacks and Giants be better, Padres inconsistent, and kind of just buying into that, having low expectations for them.
Truthfully, you could tell me that 2 through 4 finish in any order in that division, and I'd believe you.
Yeah. Fangraphs hilariously has all three of them finishing 83 and 79. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. Feels a little conservative, 83 and 79, but, you know, projections are always such. All right, you guys want to jump to awards now?
Yeah. Let's either that or end the show, right?
Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's start with Rookie of the Year award, and we will begin things in the American League. Bob, who is your American League Rookie of the Year?
I went with Junior Caminero. My reason why the Rays make the playoffs in the first place, I think they are manipulating his service time, as the Rays tend to do. But they've also had some key losses recently, and they kind of need to reset things and need to squeeze every year out of superstar young players, because that's the only way that the Rays survive. So I think Caminero will be up the third week of April, and that's not that much of a head start for everybody else when it comes to the Rookie of the Year compared to as it might with other awards.
All right, nice choice, nice choice. How about you, Keaton?
I went with Rafaela because I'm also buying into his hot spring, and Jake, kind of as you laid out earlier, if he's going to play Gold Glove defense and go 20-20, it's going to be pretty hard not to give him the award.
Are you going to drive to the casino to make that that selection?
Not only that, I'm going to wind up the engine on my car with the big Ooga horn and ride it all the way to the casino to handwrite that bet in pencil.
You better talk like a 1920s newsie when you turn in your ticket. Now, boys.
I want sedan, see?
No funny business.
This could stick play ball.
All right. Well, I have Wyatt Langford of the Rangers. You know, he's not a stellar defensive player by any means, but I think that by the end of this season, we'll be talking about Langford as a top 10 hitter in the entire American League, if not all of baseball. That's how special I think this kid is. So,
all great choices.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue. He has yet to find a level to challenge him, which is absurd. Yeah.
That's for sure. All right, let's get to American League Cy Young. I'll kick this one off. George Kirby, who I've long had a crush on from a pitching standpoint, just a master of command, who also has seen his velocity climb in recent years. Very good secondary stuff. I think he'll strike out a ton of guys this year, be very efficient. So I think we see a year where George Kirby actually overshadows his stellar rotation mates to win the award.
Keaton, you go.
Okay. I got Pablo Lopez. Really good year. Last year has been a very good pitcher for a very long time. I think settling into the American League, doesn't walk guy. Kills the strikeouts. Changeup is nasty. Guy that I really wanted the Red Sox to go hard after in a trade and did not. And really kind of thrived last year in Minnesota. And I just don't see how that really would be any different. And he's still quite young. So still improving. Coming into his age 28 season. So a bit of a maybe darker horse pick there, but buying into it.
I like that pick a lot. Bob, who you got?
Yeah, Lopez, he was my second choice. You've been spot on about that, Keaton. That would have been, might have changed things around if they were more aggressive for him in recent years. I went with Luis Castillo, a different Mariner. He's just been so solidly consistent for 5 years in a row now. And while some of that time was in Cincinnati with some inflated ERA since he's gotten to Seattle, you know, he had the 2.99 ERA 2 years ago. He had 3.34 a year ago, through 197 innings. Like, just takes the ball every fifth day, a lot of strikeouts, 219 a year ago. I mean, I could see him doing something like that and having 15, 16 wins on this team and an ERA slightly under 3. And I just think it's a wide open race for that award in the AL with Garrett Cole out, you know, with Jacob DeGrom kind of out of the picture for a couple of years now. I mean, there are some opportunities there. And, you know, I just think that's the kind of thing where there could be 10 different pitchers that are all in the race for this award. I think it's probably the most difficult out of all the ones that you threw out there for options here.
Yeah, I love all of our picks for American League Cy Young and for Rookie of the Year. So we're on fire so far. Let's get to AL MVP, and let's start with you, Keaton. Who is going to win the MVP this year?
I like both of your guesses better than mine. They seem more fun, but I went with Juan Soto because he's very good at baseball. He's playing in a park where he can now bunt his way to 40 homers, and he's in a contract year, and he's a dude we've long speculated about landing a crazy monster, not quite Otani-esque, but pretty close kind of deal. And this is the season for him to earn it. So it feels like he's going to go do that. And he's in a great park to kind of put up those kind of numbers. So I feel like I went with the low-hanging fruit here, but I believe it.
Yeah, I feel like that's something you can really bet on.
I went with Corey Seager.
He just figured it out.
No, I was just wanted to see how long the silence would go, and it made me laugh even harder.
Sorry, Bob. I was trying to make a untimely Ohtani joke, but
you know. I know, and it went way over my head. I just thought the silence was you waiting for me to go next.
Oh God, that was good.
Oh, Corey Seager here. See, yeah.
Not a good year choice.
you know, Seager's already hurt, right? And he's gotten hurt a couple times a year for, I don't know, last 5 years. He played 119 games a year ago, and he had more than 6 WAR in Fangraphs and Baseball Reference WAR. Just a phenomenal player, both sides of the field. I've got Texas as my 1C in the AL, and you know, with he hit 327 a year ago with 33 homers and 96 RBIs, and he missed 43 games. Just crazy numbers. It sounds like he's going to be back for opening day or, you know, sometime later this week at the very least. So, I don't know. I just think he's a generational talent when he is on the field in his prime. Just hoping that he plays at least 130 games for that to happen.
I just want it to be known that on our agenda you put Kyle Seager. So
I don't think he's going to win it.
All right. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is with AL MVP. I've talked ad nauseum about how much I like Adley Rutschman and how underrated I think catchers like him are. So I'm going to go with Adley Rutschman. I think best player on the best team in the American League is going to get the award.
I like it. I think that is a strong choice from a team that should be at the top of the American League. So I can once again see all those. And Soto might be one of those players to have a season that even if the Yankees didn't make the playoffs, he could be in the MVP race.
Yeah, let's all be honest. The only reason we all didn't pick Soto is because he's a Yankee, and it pisses us off. Like, that's the clearest no-brainer pick here, and Keaton's going to be right, and we're all going to be wrong.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm not going to be happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, National League Rookie of the Year. I think this might be the easiest one. I have Yoshinobu Yamamoto winning that award. I guess I'll ask this. Does anybody have anything different?
I sure don't, Jake.
All right. Clean sweep for Yamamoto. Anybody worried about his first start going so terribly?
Nope.
No, but it definitely, I hesitated in terms of picking him. And a week ago, it was a, I think he's a shoo-in. So, it certainly wasn't a good start. He's got a little catch-up to get those ratios in check.
For the sake of just throwing a couple other names out there, Jackson Chirios, definitely another name to look at. But are there any other guys who you guys could see as dark horse candidates for National League Rookie of the Year?
I don't think any are really jumping out at me.
My computer has blocked every Rookie of the Year odds.
this is great listening, yeah. Right here. We'll
I can't think
back
of anyone off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's a two-man race there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to NL Cy Young. This one might be as boring as NL Rookie of the Year, but you know, let's see. Let's see if it is. Keaton, who do you have for National League Cy Young?
I went Glasnow.
Oh, okay. All right, so not completely boring. Like that choice. You just think he's going to finally stay healthy?
Yeah. Which is all a right. Big ask. But if he does, he's going to be right there in the mix.
Yeah, he's kind of made of glass now.
Jesus.
You're so good at this, Jake.
Yeah, I need to stop. All right, go ahead, Bob.
I went with Spencer Strider, and that's probably the obvious choice, but double-checking his ERA last year, 3.86 ERA last year. But he won 20 games, and he struck out 13.5 batters per nine, and he's added another curveball, and I just think he is far and away the best pitcher in baseball, so I can't in good conscience pick anybody other than Spencer Strider this year.
Do you think he could fit a quarter in between his baseball pants and his quads?
I couldn't figure out which pictures were doctored and which ones were real. The lunatic.
Yeah, I also have Spencer Strider. I think he's going to be markedly better than he was last year, and I think he's going to strike out over 300 this season. So, very interested to see how that goes.
Was it Robbie Ray that Strider knocked off the throne as the tight pants king?
Oh, yeah. But Robbie Ray makes his return this year, hopefully, to the Giants. Another name that we didn't even mention as a Giants rotation option. But, yeah, could be a real tight pants off in the National League this year.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's going to be really
especially
exciting,
with
Jake.
See-through pants.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be all that the eyes can handle. National League MVP. I have a player who used to play for the Boston Red Sox, a guy by the name of Mookie Betts, winning the National League MVP. Keaton, who you got?
Same guy. I don't even think he has to repeat what he did last year. If he comes close to it while playing shortstop every day for the first time in his major league career, that is insane. The dude is so good at baseball, and it's going to be really hard not to give it to him.
Do you think that there's like no real concerns with this guy committing to him long term? Like maybe, you know, no worries about his size or his ability to stay healthy or him continuing to perform at a high level as he ages. You feel like this guy's a pretty good bet?
I do. I do think he is, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think... Bob. Never mind.
All right. Bob, who you have?
I think one of us, you know, has to pick the guy who scored 149 runs, stole 73 bases, was on base at a 416 rate, and struck out 11% of the time last year.
I think
if he does 80% of that, he'll win the MVP again. So I'm going to pick Ronald Acuna and be super boring.
I like it. All right. Well, the American League is certainly more interesting than the National League is this year in terms of the award races. So, something to look for there. All right. I have a couple other categories before we go on and get you guys out of here, and we will give you our World Series categories or our World Series winners. First category I have is team that will be better than people expect in the American Leagues in the non-playoff category. I have the Royals, who Bob and I have a gentlemanly wager on in terms of wins. So if I get over 75 wins for the Royals, I win, and if Bob is under, he wins. So first good dumb bet of the year.
Yeah, we had to do something with just how polar opposite we were on our first Royals discussion. I went with the Guardians on this one. I kind of stated the case earlier. I just think that their pitching and a couple of superstar players at the top of the lineup should keep them in it. I don't think they're gonna bottom out quite like you guys thought.
All right, nice. Who do you have, Keaton?
I'm going with the Royals because if I'm looking at all the teams that I think will not make the playoffs in the AL, I think that they're all gonna be worse except for the Royals, and I guess technically the Red Sox, but that was by like two games.
Right, my man. There we go. Team that will be better than people expect in the National League. I went with the Cincinnati Reds, a notable team that Keaton hates. So, Keaton, who'd you go with?
I'm going with the Pirates.
Ooh, like that.
I guess my answer is also the Reds, but I had them winning the division, so I don't think that qualifies. Right? We wanted this to be a non-playoff version.
That's right. Yep.
All right. So I went with the Mets. I don't think that they're gonna suck, and Buck Showalter's gone. So.
Who's the new manager over there?
Carlos Mendoza.
Carlos Mendoza of the Mendoza line?
It is not of the Mendoza line.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
Need to look that up.
That's an
Mario.
ignominious. That's
Mario
Mario.
Mendoza from the 1979 Mariners. He light hitting 200 shortstop.
There we go. Okay, perfect. Team that will be worse than people expect in the American League non-playoffs category. I went with the Rays, whose case I stated earlier. Bob, who you have?
Went with the Yankees. Now we know Jordan Montgomery is not going there, so I'm still going with the Yankees.
Nice.
I'm going with the Blue Jays. Just kind of buying
Ooh.
into their underperformance in the regular season, before they get to the playoffs.
Okay, Keaton, I want to stick with you for a second here. Who is going to have the worst season on the Blue Jays in terms of like guys that are blue chippers who expect to carry the team? Who's going to be the most disappointing?
Barrios.
Oh, okay. I could see that. Yeah. Good one. All right, next one we have team that will be worse than people expect in the National League non-playoffs category, and I have the Diamondbacks, not making the playoffs after being in the World Series, so I had to go with them. Who you have, Keaton?
Padres.
The Dads. All right, Bob.
Keaton went way bolder than me throughout the whole show, so good work. I went
and my entire
Marlins.
life.
That's a good point. You and Tom Werner was that's how I
my
live my
life
life.
I
Full
live my
throttle is
life
what I meant.
a quarter mile at a time.
The hell's wrong with you people? Of course, that's what I meant.
You almost had me. You never had me. You never had your car.
There we go. All right, playoff predictions. I'm going to run through it. I went a little bit more granular than everybody else here, so bear with me. I have the Rangers against the Mariners in the first series, Rangers winning that one. Twins versus Blue Jays. Blue Jays coming out on top. Then I have Blue Jays versus Orioles. Orioles coming out on top. Rangers versus Astros. Astros coming out on top. And the ALCS, I have Orioles versus Astros, with the Astros winning in 7 games. National League, I've got Cubs versus Giants in the first round, with the Giants winning. Phillies versus Padres, with the Phillies winning. Next round, Giants versus Braves, Braves winning. Phillies versus Dodgers, Phillies taking care of the Dodgers, who always kind of underwhelm in the playoffs. And then I have Phillies versus Braves in the NLCS, with the Phillies winning in 7. All right, let's go to you, Bob. Who do you have as your playoff teams?
All right, so going back to playoff teams, I had in order the Rangers, the Orioles, the Twins as the division winners, and then I had the Astros, the Rays, and the Mariners as wild card. I skipped straight ahead to the ALCS. I'm going to say the 4-seed Astros beat the 2-seed Orioles in the AL. In the National League, I had Dodgers, Braves, and Reds, 1-2-3. As the division winners, I had the wildcard teams as the Phillies 4, Padres 5, Diamondbacks 6. And then I put the Braves over the Phillies, the reverse of what you had there, in a, you know, hate the fact that they don't reseed. I still think that's the case. I got the number 2 Braves over the number 4 Phillies in the NLCS, and then I have the Braves over the Astros in the World Series. As much as I wanted to put the Rangers there, I think it's very difficult to go back-to-back, so we'll go back to the Braves.
All right, and Keaton.
I'm keeping the bold line going. So my playoff teams were the Orioles, Rays, Tigers, Astros, Rangers, Mariners, and I just did the CS and World Series. I didn't do all these fancy matchups like you did. So in the ALCS, I have the Orioles over the Astros in 4. And for the National League, I got Braves, Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Giants as my playoff teams. Dodgers, Giants in the NLCS. Dodgers winning in 7. So I got a Dodgers, Orioles, World Series. I'm not going that bold. I'm taking the Dodgers.
Okay, and I'll give my World Series to wrap this show up. I have the Phillies over the Astros in 6, with Bryce Harper as the MVP of that series. So I like that we all have different World Series teams this year.
But I mean, I thought someone was going to land in the Blue Jays.
Not this year. Not fooling us this year. But interesting that we all have the winner coming from the National League.
Yeah. It's a good league. Fair. It's a solid league.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
They play good ball over there.
All right, well, speaking of playing good ball, you can find us on Twitter. You can find Bob at BobOsgood15. You can find Keaton at Spoken Keats. You can find me at DevJake. And we'll be playing good ball with you guys all season. So tune in and subscribe. Tell your friends. Thank you for listening. We'll be with you again next week.